pastor anyway. Him and his dear wife and their family just are dear to our hearts, amen. And even your assistant pastor, praise the Lord, Brother White, amen. I know he's different, but you got to love him anyway, amen, because the Lord died for all creatures, amen, and he is one, amen. Y'all was singing that wonderful song up there a little bit ago since the song I was singing, I guess it was since Jesus. I wanted to sing back there and kind of come through the forward. My wife always says I sing too loud, so I wanted to sing it. And as I was getting ready to get in tune with it, Brother White started bothering me. And next thing I know, I looked up, he's finished bothering me, and the song is over. And I'm thinking, dear Lord, now I got to find something to preach about him about, amen? Folks, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5. I can say this here about your missions. Y'all have had a tremendous guy come in here on an annual basis, Dr. Lou Baldwin. And when it comes down to missions, he covers much of the internal and the detailed areas concerning missions and the giving, amen? And the fact that the mission of the church is missions, amen? That is awesome. It's outstanding. And so when it comes down to getting involved in encouraging back in missions, sometimes we forget about one thing, and that is this. Why we do it? Why do we do this? Why do we get involved with missions? Why is mission so important in the first place? Amen? Amen. Now, I can say this beyond a shadow of a doubt. Every one of y'all are here because of missions. Amen. Every last one of you. Shining Light Baptist Church is here because of missions. Amen. Without missions, it would have no need to be here. Without missions and the passion and the heart of Christ, it would have no existence here. But because it is, missions is the heartbeat of God, you'll find out that this church was established. People made sacrifices, and the sacrifices that they made so you might hear a clear presentation of the gospel. Amen. And so in Matthew chapter number 5, I want you to see something in verse number 1. The Bible says, and seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, we're just going to stop there. We're not going to deal with the Beatitudes this morning, amen? He's going to talk about those issues, but we're going to go into something a little bit more basic when it comes to missions, amen? And by the way, if you have any questions concerning it, please feel free to let me know. This is a Sunday school time. It's not another preaching time for me. Amen. I enjoy interacting with the people in the Word of God. Amen. And so if you have any questions whatsoever about why you do things, amen. I'm a firm believer that if you know why you do things, it takes away any excuse for not doing it. Amen. And I'm easy. Let's get rid of all excuses. Amen. I believe that an excuse is nothing but a reason stuffed with a lie. Amen. Let's get rid of the lie. And if there's a legitimate reason for doing things, let's do it. Let's not make any excuses. Let's get a hold of the heart of God. And better yet, let God get a hold of our hearts. Amen. So even on the time this week, we're going to be letting God get a hold of our hearts. So if your heart is hard, you better start getting this off now. Start watering it, amen? You say, well, wait a minute. You can water a rock all you want to, and it'll never get soft. No, but God can wear that thing away. That's why you got the Grand Canyon, amen? That Grand Canyon was hard at one time, and it's gone, amen? So we're going to look at these passages, amen, and get a hold of the things of God. Father, we do love you and thank you. Thank you for your heart. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace that you had upon our lives. As for me, Father, forgive me of sin. Empty me of self and fill me with your spirit, that I might be your servant with one mission in mind, to lift up my Savior. Lord, take charge of me. Take charge of every heart here today. Speak to us. And in all things, Father, we're going to acknowledge you. We praise you in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. And amen. Now, everybody, y'all, did y'all get your missions card this morning? Okay? Well, later on today, you're going to get a missions card, amen? You're going to get a faith promise card. And what you're going to do with that faith promise card, some of y'all are probably already involved with faith promise, amen? And others haven't gotten involved with it. What you do with that faith promise card that you're going to get, if you're already involved in faith promise, we're going to let the Lord try and touch your heart today. And hopefully he could touch your heart so you could see the need to get more involved with it, amen? And so what you would do with that is this. If you're giving, $1,000 a month for missions, amen. We got anybody on that level of giving? $1,000 a month in missions, amen. If you're giving that much and God lays on your heart to give $1,004, the only thing you got to put on that missions card is the extra $4, amen. Because the $1,000 you're already giving. Now, if God tells you to give another $2,000, I need to find out where you live and ask if you would come to our church. Because if you're giving $3,000 a month to missions, I'm stealing members, amen? That's just the way it is, amen? So, in Matthew chapter number 5, you see the Lord Jesus, he's about to give the famous Sermon on the Mount. But he's not giving just the Sermon on the Mount for any reason other than the fact that there's a group of people here, amen? And these people have been going through the religious rigmarole all their lives. For 400 years, the gospel had not been given. It's been silent. And then all of a sudden, John burst on the scene as the forerunner of the Lord Jesus. He burst on the scene, and he begins to give the first introduction into missions by telling people to get their hearts and their minds ready. Lay low the mountains, fill up the valleys to get ready because the Son of God is coming. The Messiah is coming. The Lamb is coming. And he's coming for a reason. His purpose for coming is to take away the sins of the world. Amen. And so he comes in as the forerunner. Amen. And then all of a sudden, when the forerunner finishes his mission, the Lord Jesus steps on the scene. And when he steps on the scene, the first thing he does, as you know, he gets challenged out there at the mount. In the wilderness, and the devil challenges him, and he beats back the devil with the message, amen? Amen. The message is, the mission is this, the message comes along there, and he says, it is written. Now he comes over there, and he presents himself, and he's preaching before the people, and the people are flat out excited about the Lord. The reason why is he's preaching, and he's teaching like nobody has ever taught before. He's teaching with authority. Amen. Because he has the authority. Many times when they talk to people about missions, they go over there at Matthew 28 and they begin to talk to you about where he says, all power is given unto me. He talks about the authority. Amen. All that authority rests in him. And so when he gives those commissions and those commandments, he has the authority and also the expectations from us that you and I will yield to his authority. Amen. Y'all believe that? I mean, it's real simple. Cop pulls you over. He's got a badge. He has authority to pull you over, right? And if you resist him, he can tase you. Amen. You know, there's a certain authority that comes along with certain position. The Lord Jesus comes with that authority. But before as he's coming down here, he's starting his earthly ministry. And his earthly ministry doesn't do just with the mission or the message, amen. It has to do with the messenger and why he came. And so he comes and he looks. And as he's coming, he's seeing people. Amen. And by the way, one of the problems we have sometimes with missions is we don't see people. We don't see their need. We see our pockets. We see our bills. We see our things, but we don't see people. Amen. And by the way, because we don't see people and the people we do kind of look at, they're not our kind of people anyway. Amen. We look at people who are desperate, and sometimes we look at them and say, well, you know, we'll just leave them alone. Jesus never did that. Jesus dealt with the destitute. I mean, people who were down and out. A woman caught in a very act of adultery. He looks at her. A thief, a civil servant, a thief, somebody like Zacchaeus hiding up a tree. He's seeking after Jesus. And in fact, he didn't realize he was running away from Jesus because Jesus was seeking after him. Amen. We got over there, you look in the New Testament in Acts, you find a suicidal jailer. You find a demonically possessed girl over there. You find all kinds of just unusual situations with the Lord. You find people with leprosy where nobody else would touch them. Jesus goes right up to him and lays hands on him. You got blind people that he's healing and people that everybody else is saying, shut up, hold your peace. He sneaks into a place where on the porch called Beautiful, there's a man there who had been there, brought there every day for 38 years. Amen. And the Lord Jesus goes up to him at that place and he said, would thou be made whole? Amen. And the man begins to look around here. He said, well, I got no man. I didn't ask you if you had a man. I asked you if you wanted to be made whole. Amen. It's a strange thing. You ask people a simple question. If you was to die right now, do you know where you would go? Well, I go to church. I didn't ask you if you were going to church. You know, life is more than just going to church. So what happens is the Lord Jesus is coming around here, and he's seeing these people, and these people are seeing him, and they're following him. Amen. Because they're in awe at his teaching. They said, never a man spake like this man. Amen. And so as they're in awe of his teaching, he begins to try to enlist them and get them encouraged into the program. But he's got a group of people that he's already been working with. This group of people at this time are called disciples. Amen. Ain't y'all a disciple of Christ? Praise the Lord. Every last one of you who's saved should be a disciple of Christ. That was a trick question, amen. So are y'all all disciples of Christ? Now you're in trouble because now you said it out loud. Because as a disciple, there's some things you should be doing, amen. And so you have no excuse not to be doing them. Not unless you're going to get like the disciples over in John chapter number 6. When Jesus started putting the requirements down on them, because they thought, man, I'm over here with Jesus, and Jesus fed the 5,000 the day before, and we're hungry today. And he said, Moses fed us for 40 years. They looked at Jesus as a meal ticket, and Jesus started putting requirements on their lives. And they said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? And the Bible said, and many of his disciples went back and walk no more with him. Now, preacher, I'm not meaning to do this by asking people to give more. I'm hoping some of y'all don't say, I ain't going back to that church. All they want is my money. They don't want your money. They want to get you involved with the ministry of reaching the world and reciprocate with somebody already invested in you. Because there's not one soul in here that didn't come at a very high price. Not a one. And I'm not talking about the price that somebody else paid in missions. I'm talking about the price that the Lord paid on the cross. He said, you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold by your vain conversations, amen, but by the precious blood, amen. And so when the Lord Jesus talks to these folks, these disciples, now these disciples, they're coming around here. He says he goes up in a high mountain, amen, and he sees something that disciples still don't see. He sees the multitude. Amen. He sees the multitude. Amen. And by the way, we got to watch our vision. I wear glasses because I have something called, I get these two mixed up. I'm myopic. Amen. That means, you say, I don't know if you know what that means either. Amen. I'm going to explain it myself. Myopic, we got myopic, and then you got hypermyopia or something like that. One of them means that you're short-sighted. The other one means that I'm long-sighted, amen, which means I can see things a long ways away, but I can't see things up on me, amen. Some people who have that, you look and their glasses just a little thicker, the ones who can see things far away but can't see things close up, amen. They got magnified. But then you got people like me who can see things close up, but when it comes to things far away, I have trouble seeing them. They get a little blurry, amen? Like that, there's a fly up there in that corner. Now, I can't see his wings like I normally do, amen? You know, I can't see him licking out his tongue. But, you know.
That's good. Amen.
And so what happens is these folks here, we have a problem with our vision. We only see what we want to see when we want to see it. Amen. And many times with these conferences and these things like this here, the only thing we're trying to do is take a moment to refocus your vision on what you should be looking at. Because if we're not careful, we're ADD. One minute we're looking over here, oh, how we love Jesus. Next minute, oh, man, did you see the game? And, oh, man, we have our vision that shifts.
Yes, sir.
Amen. So when the Lord brings this crowd together, he gets up on the mountain, amen, chapter number 5. It says, and seeing what? The multitude, He went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them. Amen? One of the things that will give you and me the proper vision, the proper focus on missions, is if we finally come to the place where we see the multitude. So I want us to look at just three things this morning. Pastor gave me a time to be finished, amen? But I'm looking around here, and he has no clock to guide me. Say again. He will. Praise the Lord, amen. I normally have them do that. I normally have them do that 15 minutes, amen, before we finish the Sunday school class. And still, I'm a little behind, amen? But it says here, when we deal with this vision, if you and I don't see the vision, and the Bible said without a vision, the people perish, amen? And that vision is not a vision of saying, see the multitude. It's about a vision of God. Unless they see God working and doing these things here, they perish. They start looking at people. And you can't be looking at people. You know why? Because people got problems. Anybody in here that's a people? Anybody in here got problems? Praise the Lord. Welcome to my world. Amen. Amen. And so as he comes over here, the one thing that Lord wants them to see and wants us to see in order to keep our missions going forward and even getting better, he wants us to see first and foremost the spiritually needy multitude throughout all time. I want you to see the multitude. Why do I need you to see the multitude? Because, by the way, I'll give you this here. For every person that passes on into eternity, more are being born. Amen. The mission until the Lord Jesus comes back and the church is raptured out of here, the mission of the church will be to reach the world, and it is a never-ending story. Amen. There will always be people. Anybody in this church here fairly new? Relatively new, amen. Guess what? This church was built here for you. Who's one of the, anybody here one of the older members who was meeting together when they was meeting over in the strip mall? Strip mall, I keep saying that. I hate saying this. Sounds like you go over there and everybody take off their clothes. Amen. It's not that time. But you got folks here who were here from the beginning before they had this building. And you got folks who just walk into this building. And in all these things here, it happens because the mission and the ministry of the church consistently goes forward to see more and more people reached with the gospel. Amen. Because you need the gospel, I need the gospel, and no matter where you go in the world, they need the gospel. Amen. I was going to go over, and we'll look at that tonight, amen, over there in Acts chapter number 1, where he deals with the, he's going to give out the mandate for missions. And when he puts it out there, he says, you're going to go into all the world. He said, you're going to be a witness for me, and it's going to be in your Jerusalem, your Judea, your Samaria, and your uttermost parts of the world, amen. He wants you to go there. Now, as you look through here, he deals with first and foremost a spiritually needy multitude through all times. Amen. They're out there. Amen. He says that in that verse number 1. But I want you to see some things. As the Lord Jesus is looking at this group of people, he's looking at this group of people from the eyes of experience. What are you talking about? Look at chapter number 4 for a moment. And watch the Lord's ministry. Amen. The spiritually needy multitude. The first thing you look at in chapter number 4 of Matthew, and look at verse number, look at verse 14. Actually, look at verse 12. The Bible said, now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee, of the Gentiles. The people which sat in what? Darkness. Sat in darkness, what? Saw great light, and to them which sat in the regions and the shadows of death, what? Light has sprung up. He said, so I'm going to show you why this church is here. I'm going to show you why you're here. I'm going to show you what Jesus is looking at. He's looking at a multitude of people. And the way he's seeing them as a people who are enshrouded in darkness. Amen. They need the gospel. They need the light. And these people, he also wants to let you know, not only are they enshrouded in darkness, he said they're close to death. Amen.
Amen.
Sometimes we think we got time. We think that people are going to wait for us. Death is not going to wait for anybody. And by the way, death is no respecter of persons. Amen. Death doesn't mind going over there and taking a baby out of a nursery, out of a mother's womb, and then go over there and take some of the Ancient of Days. Death doesn't mind. Death never takes a vacation. It's an amazing thing that Christians take vacations all the time. And they're not taking vacations to get away from themselves or get away from the rat race. Many times they take vacations to get away from God. Amen. But the devil never, and hell never takes a vacation. It really doesn't. Amen. And so as he's looking, he said, there's this darkness, this enshrouding people, and there's this death that is on their tail. Amen. On their trail. Look at verse 17. From that time, what? Jesus began to preach and say, what? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He starts the first missions outreach. Amen.
Amen.
He starts the first. Most people think that the Great Commission started with the challenge at the end of Matthew. Jesus came with the Great Commission in hand.
Yes,
it started with the heartbeat of God. And so as he's doing this here, look at verse number 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, he comes over there, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were what? Fishers, amen. You know, sense in casting a net in the sea if you don't know what you're doing with the thing, amen. The only thing you'll catch is tires. Verse number 19, and he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you, what? So now I turn around here. He's coming over here with the Great Commission that he's implementing himself. And he's going to show us how to do it. Then he comes over here and he's got two people he's already enlisting in the ministry. Amen. And he's enlisting in the ministry to reach people. Amen.
Amen.
You might call them missionaries.
Yes.
Why? Because they're leaving their bread and butter jobs. They're leaving their home. They're leaving everything that they're used to follow the Lord Jesus for one purpose, and that is to reach us.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Got it? This was not an afterthought. This was from the very inception of the program of God. Missions and ministry and the message was being brought forward.
Amen.
Going down there a little further. The Bible says, and they straightway, what to God we have that, left their nets and did what?
Followed him.
And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called what? Them. Now, by the way, again, now I got four people that I'm going to be using, that I'm going to train to reach the world with the gospel. Amen?
Amen.
The world's a big place for four or five people to try and reach, isn't it?
Yes, sir, it is.
Now, go here a little further. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Now I got to leave my brothers, my father, my family to follow this Jesus guy to reach strange people. And by the way, no matter where you go in the world, you're going to find some strange people.
Oh, yes.
Amen. Some of us marry strange people. Amen. No matter where you go, they're going to be there. Amen. Strangers. Verse number 23. And the first thing you see Jesus doing, because I'm dealing with a people group that has issues. I got these disciples, but they don't know what they're doing. And so he begins to teach them in verse number 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues. And then he's going to talk about and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. The first thing I have to realize with this spiritually needy multitude is they need the gospel, but they don't know it. They don't know anything about the gospel. They don't know anything about Jesus. I mean, they may have heard an Easter song. They may have saw something on TV. They may have heard an evangelist say something, but they have no idea what they need. You ask the average person about salvation, they have no idea what it is. They'll relate it to baptism, church experience, choir membership. They were related to everything in the world but the truth of the gospel.
That's right.
And the Bible said, you know, the same Matthew Chapter number 7, he's going to say, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. It's an amazing thing. God gives the church a mandate, a mission to go over there and charge the gates of hell to try to deliver people from that demise. And we would rather sit back and try and cheer somebody on sometime. They didn't cost you anything, amen? So the first thing he's doing, he starts to teaching them, amen? Why? Because Jesus is going around teaching the uninformed. He sees people who don't know any better. You know why you have a missions conferences and things like that? Because people don't know what missions is. They don't have a clue. Amen. You mean the preacher and the church wants more money? Amen. I pay my tithes. You know what the Bible talks about? You pay your tithes. By the way, you pay your tithes. You give an offering. Amen. And when it comes down to missions, that's over and above your offering that you're giving for a specific purpose in the mandate of God, with this understanding. God dealt with your heart about giving that. Amen. How much is the soul of your neighbor worth? How much is your soul worth? Amen. If it was you and your neighbor, how much would you be willing to sacrifice for your own soul? Because I could tell you this, others sacrificed more than that for you. Amen. And so he starts teaching them, amen. He starts teaching them because he realizes this spiritually uninformed people, this spiritually needy multitude are uninformed. They don't have a clue. Amen. They don't know how to give, when to give, where to give, or why they give. Amen. And so he's starting to teach this multitude, but he does something else too. Amen. Now, by the way, teaching shows the technique. This is how we do it. Amen. But then he starts preaching. Amen. It says he's teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel. When you deal with the uninformed, that's one thing. But you got people who are uncommitted. And preaching causes that commitment to come. You know, I could teach the word of God all day long like we're doing here in Sunday school. If you notice, I did a separation. I separated the teaching portion here for the moment from the preaching portion that's going to go here. Both of them instruct. But one of them inspires. Amen. When you get up there, there should be an inspiration coming from the pulpit that causes people to finally mount up on their horses and said, let's go. Let's charge the gates of the enemy. Amen. But sometimes I will need to know why I'm charging. Okay, this is how you ride the horse. You don't just get on the thing and say, come on, boy, and kick him on the side and the horse go down the road. He'll throw you in the street. Amen. But if you learn how to do things and why you do things, then the preaching tells you when to do it. Right. Amen. And so I'm dealing with, first of all, I have to deal with the uninitiated, the uninformed. But now I'm dealing with the uncommitted. Amen. Amen. There's some, if I ask, how many of y'all give to missions, hands would go up. But at what expense? To somebody who doesn't? Yeah. Amen. How many of us are really committed to see the... Hey, by the way, how many of y'all are committed to see Tucson reached? Amen. Because the world seems like such a big place.
Yes, sir, it does.
But Tucson isn't that big.
Right.
Amen. So, relatively speaking, how many of y'all are committed to see Tucson reached, and what are you ready to invest in it? Amen. Are you ready to invest your own life to get out there and go? Well, I can't go anymore. Okay. Are you ready to invest your resources and get out there and give? Because guess what? I can give a track on your behalf. This is from Shining Light Baptist Church, and we want to invite you out there and let you know that Jesus loves you. Now, that's not from Shining Light. That's from Calvary's Harvest Baptist Church. So if you ever come to Atlanta, we want to let you know just how much we love you. Amen.
You want it back?
No, 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 no. You can.
Like that. I thought you wanted it back. I said, I'm not getting it.
No, I was reaching for the wallet, you know. I gave you that expensive track, you know, Annie. Yeah. Amen. Even in my local missions, I can get involved if I can't go myself. Amen. But then I have to realize it's more than just Tucson. I mean, you got all of Arizona to reach. How can we reach all of Arizona? We're just one small church. Yeah, but you're shining light. And you would be surprised how bright a light looks in the darkness of the world. I mean, it could be seen for miles and miles and miles. We was flying 37,000 feet. 37,000 feet last night. And we looked down and saw lights. Amen. If I could see a light from 37,000 feet, I should be able to see a light for 100 miles.
That's right.
Right? And so that's what shining light can do. We can reach our Jerusalems. Now, because I got this spiritually needy people here, I got the uninformed, I got the uncommitted, Jesus said, I got to get these disciples that I just took off the fishing boat. And I got to teach them to the place where I can get them committed to the cause. Amen. Most of the time, it's just trying to get people behind the cause. If I can get you committed, there's nothing we can't do.
Right.
Amen. But guess what? He said, I'm going out there. He's teaching. He's preaching in the synagogues. He's preaching the, and by the way, he's preaching the gospel. He's got the solid message. He's not preaching just any old thing, social issues. You know, bless God, I tell you what's the truth, this government we got.
Amen.
Bless God, we need to vote them out. What do you think? He's not preaching social issues. He's preaching spiritual needs. Amen.
Amen.
Guess what? You could change a government with the gospel.
That's right.
Amen.
Yes,
just as effectively if you could change a home. You could make a drunk sober up. You could make a harlot straighten up. Jesus proved that. With Mary the Magdalene. Amen. You can make a thief fess up. He proved that with Zacchaeus. Amen. The gospel will change your life and change their life. But he says he got something else he's dealing with them. I got these folks over there that are uninformed. I got another group of people who's uncommitted. But then I got the reason why I'm here in the first place. Look at the rest of that. He's preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases among the people. I'm here because of the unredeemed. These people are hurting. They're sick. The Bible tells us in the Old Testament that from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet, it's sickness.
Yes, sir, it is.
And that sickness has a simple name. It's called sin. Amen. What we deal with many times is the consequences, the symptoms of sin. Amen. That's why murder is out there. That's why death. That's why our families are falling. Those are symptoms of sin.
Yes, sir.
The root cause is sin. Amen. And so Jesus is dealing with the unredeemed, those who need the healing. I love it when this first message came out, the Bible said, he quoted a passage from the Old Testament, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has sent me to preach the gospel too. And he started naming a few people, the poor. He said, all these groups of people who need the gospel. Amen? The unredeemed. How many of y'all are saved here today?
Amen.
How many of y'all who are saved here today realize at one time you were the unredeemed? And that's all he's saying. Get involved. Get involved with this thing to help reach these people who need the gospel, the spiritually needy multitude throughout all ages. Amen. So he's teaching, he's preaching, he's healing. But not only that, we got the spiritually needy multitude throughout all ages. They're there. We got the spiritually needed ministry throughout all time. The spiritually needy ministry. You right now in the church is in a great decline. But you know what the world needs more than anything else? Good, solid churches.
Yes, sir,
amen. But we're in decline. We're on the run. Amen. Christianity has got a terrible, terrible reputation. And it's not because Christ has changed. It's because Christians have. Amen. And so we're on the run. Amen. And you got some of us who are running forward, though. Amen. Some of us are not running backwards. Some of us are running forward. Amen. And so when you deal with some things, as he's dealing with the ministry throughout all ages that's needed, he's going to show you four things. Amen. He's going to show you, first of all, in chapter number 4, again, in verse number 17, he's going to show you the sovereign of the kingdom. It says, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This ministry about reaching the world even though it was given as a mandate to Shining Light Baptist Church, the one who's in charge of this, the sovereign of this, is Jesus. Amen. How many of y'all love Jesus today? Watch out, because y'all said y'all were disciples. And we know when the commitment was put to the disciples, the Bible said many of them walked back no more with him. Amen. So I don't know how many we're going to run away with that. Amen. But they say, he said, how many of y'all love Jesus?
Amen.
Boy, a minute ago, y'all was all happy. Amen. How many love Jesus? Well, I don't know. Maybe I just like Peter. Maybe I just like him a whole lot. Amen. Why? Because Jesus said it this way. If you love me, keep my commandments. Amen. If you love me. So if we're not keeping the commandment to reach the world and get involved with the giving of the gospel, amen, what are we saying? You're not saying that out loud, are you? By the way, if you're already involved in missions,
yes, sir,
can you honestly say you don't love Jesus more today than you did when you first committed?
Amen.
Why would you say something like that? I'm glad you asked. Y'all got good questions, by the way. Look at 2 Corinthians for a moment. Oh, I'm sorry. My fault. 1 Corinthians. Okay, now when you find 1 Corinthians, go to the next book, back over to 2 Corinthians, where I wanted to go in the first place. My bad. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Chapter 8. Y'all with me? Okay, good. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. I want you to see in verse number 7. The Bible said, therefore, as ye abound in everything. Now, he's talking to saved people. He's talking to the brethren. Talking to the church. Talking to Christians. As ye abound in everything. In faith. How many of y'all are getting stronger in faith since you've been faithful to the things of God? You know you're stronger as you abound in faith. And in utterance. How many of y'all say more about Jesus than you've ever said before? Tell more people about it. Boy, praise the Lord. You're getting good here. Amen. You got a good church. Amen. Our people just stay silent. Amen. They can't hold your words against you if you don't say nothing. Amen. In knowledge. How many of y'all are smarter in the things of God than you were before?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. When I first got saved, I didn't know anything. Amen. Didn't have a clue. Didn't know where the only thing I understood was the book of the index. Didn't know where the books of the Bible were, amen. One preacher said, when I first got saved, I thought that the epistles were married to the apostles, amen. They didn't have a clue, amen. And by the way, now I can flip through the Bible left and right, but before I had to have those cheater indents, amen. None of y'all don't need those, amen, but... Had tabs. Remember, we used to buy those tabs and put in our Bible that as you use the tab, you rip your page. Very silly idea. Amen. I got several Bibles because of that. But in knowledge, I'm wiser now. Amen. In all diligence, I'm more alert to the things of the world. I know that the devil's devices are out there. Amen. He says, I'm abounding in that. Man, I'm getting better. Amen. In all diligence and in your love to us. How many of y'all actually love one another? We used to say, I love them, but I don't like them. You know, by the way, that's a reference to what they may be doing. You know, we're supposed to love sinners regardless of their sin. I don't have to love the sin, though. Jesus died for sinners to deliver them from their sin because he loved them. I don't love sin. And so he comes down here. He said, in your love towards us, he says, see that ye abound in this grace also. Now, the grace he's talking about is grace given, faith promised. He said, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove what? The sincerity of what? Your love. How many of y'all love him?
Amen.
Prove it. Prove it. Do you love it more than the latest games? The latest phones? I know people got perfectly good phones, go out there and spend hundreds of dollars to get another phone. Well, this is the latest one. Can you still go down and say hello? Yes? Goodbye? Then it has no more technology than the other one. We got smartphones right now. We got this makes smartphones in the hands of not smart people. How do you know they're not smart? Because they'll do things like take selfies in the morning. Yeah, look, see, I'm on this phone here. That's dumb. I ain't never going to give you a selfie of me. I don't standing in my bedroom taking a picture of me naked. Are you out of your mind? I don't want to see that, let alone show it to somebody else. And they put it on their phones. Tell me somebody, and by the way, they pay extra money to get that feature. My wife figured out a new feature on her phone. She can talk, and it takes her voice, translates it to text, so she can send it out to the text. And the people at the other end who have the text, they could take it, and it will convert it back to speech. Why not talk to them and skip that process? You know, we're texting so much and talking so little. But that's another diatribe. Okay, we're back. Amen. I'm going to prove the sincerity of your love. He said, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus. Here's what he did. That though he were rich, yet for your sake, amen, for your sake and my sakes, he became poor, that you and I, through his poverty, might be what?
Rich.
Rich. This is what he's done for us. And he said, now I want to prove the sincerity of your love. You give, abound in it. Learn how to give more. You've abounded in faith. You've abounded in diligence. You abounded in all of these things, and you know more. So give more. Does it make sense? Is it Bible? Well, then I think we should do it if it's Bible. Because we said if we love him, we're going to keep his what? Well, he said this is not by commandment. No, it's not by commandment. Guess what about faith promise? You don't have to do it. Well, if I don't have to do it, then I'm not going to do it. Guess what love never requires? I have to. Love always involves a want to, a desire. Amen. It's the have to that causes people to be selfish. It's the want to that gets them to be selfless. Amen. So back over here. Praise the Lord. You know, I like your timekeeper. He doesn't show up at all. I have no idea what time it is, but he ain't showing up at all. Amen. Is he in the room with us? Praise the Lord. It's going to be funny to find out he is down there at the Kroger, at the Kmart. Say, man, I forgot my watch went back. The sovereign of the kingdom. Back over there in Matthew 4:17, it's all about Jesus. It's all about him. It's not about a reputation for Shining Light Baptist Church. Praise the Lord. Shining Light gave committed 89,000. Praise the Lord. Good job. It's not about shining lights. It's about shining the light. It's about the light that lighteth every man's path. It's about the Lord. Amen. He's the one who started this. Amen. The sovereign of the kingdom, the standards of the kingdom. He said, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, what? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. One of the things we need to recognize if we're going to get in the gospel and we're going to give the gospel out is this has to be a certain turning in our own heart. Repentance, turning around, getting that thing right. I got to stop thinking that I've given and I've done about as much as I'm going to do. Or worse than that, limit the hand of God. I've done as much as I can do. Praise the Lord, to get out of the way and let Jesus use you to do more.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
That's right, brother. That's right.
He said, I need to let them know when the kingdom of God is at hand, you need to recognize that when the sovereign's there, there is nothing that he cannot ask that is too tough for us. And he's not going to ask you to do anything that you cannot do. Amen. You'll be surprised over there in that 2 Corinthians we just looked at. A little bit further down there, he said, I understand if you don't have it right now, but I want you to give out of that what you already have. Most of us can increase our missions. Most of us can give to missions based upon what we already have. Not what we're looking to have. You know, when I get a raise, I'm going to give more. Well, why don't you get more so God can encourage your raise? I'm not a seeding guy, but I'm also not one of these CD guys either. God says, prove me. You know, I'm expecting the guy to show up over there. I'm looking over there, praise the Lord. I really was. I'm looking in the back. He come over here, amen. Hey, that could have been death. The problem was I was hoping I wasn't the only one that heard it. The sovereign of the kingdom, the standards of the kingdom, repentance. We need to get that thing right. We need to let God control our thinking instead of us trying to take charge of it. The secrets of the kingdom, Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 10. Listen to this here. Matthew 6, 10. I'll get there in a moment. It says this. Thy kingdom come, thy what? Will be done where? In earth as it is in heaven. All of this stuff here and all these things here is involved to get us into doing the will of God. Everything about the kingdom of God should be according to God's will. And by the way, God said he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God doesn't want anybody going to hell. The Lord Jesus made a great sacrifice so nobody would go to hell. And then he gets us involved so we can reach the world to tell them that. Amen? The subjects of the kingdom, we can look at Colossians chapter 1. And then I'm just going to throw out the last point. We're not going to cover it, but I'm going to throw it out there to you. Colossians chapter number 1. When you get there, say amen. You know, I got to stop encouraging people because y'all got those tabs. Y'all can get there faster than me, amen. Colossians chapter 1. Look at verse number 9. The Bible said, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Amen. That's what Paul's desire is for that church, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in how many good works? Is missions a good work? I want you to be fruitful in it. And increasing in the knowledge of who? Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered what? Us. These are the subjects of the kingdom.
Yes, sir.
You and I. Everything that we're encouraging you to get involved in to help others is exactly what others got involved in to help you. Who hath delivered us? Every last one of us here who's saved today was delivered. What'd you deliver me from? Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? Remember we said over there in Matthew chapter number 4 where he says that this people sat in darkness? Amen. At the precipice of death. You delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom. Whose kingdom? Of his dear son. Hey, folks, the spiritually needy multitude, the spiritually needy ministry, and we also got to take them, folks, the spiritually needy message. So many times we want to tell people about the church. They don't need more church. They need more Christ. The gospel, the good news. We say, well, I'll let them listen to gospel music. That music doesn't save anybody. I don't care if it's Southern Gap gospel. I don't care if it's homegrown, homeboy gospel. That music doesn't save anybody. The only thing that saves people is the message of the Word of God. Jesus came forward teaching them and preaching the gospel. Amen? So he can reach the unredeemed. And then he says, I want y'all to get involved and partner with him in the greatest business in the world, my Father's business. He owns the company of reaching the lost with the gospel. Amen? Father, thank you for your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.